Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Abdul Nasser Jengda and you're listening to the Qalam podcast. Qalam is an organization dedicated to making Islamic knowledge accessible for everyone. Alhamdulillah, the month of Ramadan is a very beautiful and powerful opportunity for learning and spiritual growth in the life of a Muslim. Therefore, Qalam has put together amazing resources for you and your family, your community to benefit from in the month of Ramadan, from a webinar on how to prepare to recitation of the entire Quran, the meaning and the message of the whole Quran, the du'as from the Quran, special webinars and events in regards to the Battle of Badr, the last 10 nights and Laylatul Qadr, and so much more. We're very excited and happy to bring you all of this Ramadan programming. Be a part of the good work that we are doing at Qalam, educating Muslims, educating people all around the world by going to supportqalam.com. Donate, contribute, give generously, and have your share in the Sadaqa Jariya and the amazing work that is going on. Supportqalam, QALAM.com. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Bismillahi walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. I'd like to welcome everyone to the start and the beginning of our Ramadan programs this year. Alhamdulillah, we're very blessed, we're very fortunate, we're very happy and grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to witness another month of Ramadan. So this particular program, since it's the very first session, I will go ahead and just give a very brief overview of this particular program. This is a program that we're going to be having every day at this time, 4:30 p.m. Central Time. And if anyone is tuning in from anywhere else, then of course you know what time it is. But at 4:30 p.m. Central Time every day, the Qalam instructors will be going live to conduct a session on the meaning of the Quran. And what this program will entail is that every day we will be covering the summary, the meaning, the themes, the messages, the stories, the reflections that are present in each juz of the Quran. So a juz is a division of the Quran based off of size, based off of number of pages, if you will. And the Quran has been divided into, generally speaking, about 30 almost equal parts. Of course, there are 114 surahs, chapters, suwar in the Quran. However, they're obviously not equally divided. Surah Al-Baqarah is 2.5 juz long, and then Surah Al-Kawthar or Surah Al-Ikhlas is basically 2 or 3 lines. So what the early generations of Muslims did was that they divided the Quran into 30 almost equal portions. And what that does is it allows for people, it facilitates for people to be able to have a regimen or a routine with the Quran where they know if they cover a certain portion, then in a month's time, they will have completed the entirety of the Quran. So oftentimes when it comes to the month of Ramadan, the one juz is done on a daily basis because that allows us to complete the Quran during the month of Ramadan. So because for folks, for people that are going to be attending Taraweeh prayers in different, masajid locations or they're maybe going to be praying Taraweeh at home or reading a juz of the Quran every day at home, we are going to every day at this time, so that it's well in advance of the nighttime, we're going to go through the meaning and the summary of a juz every single day. And what if you tune in that day or you're able to watch the recording even a little bit later, what that will do is that then when you stand in Taraweeh prayers, when you listen to the Quran at night, when you read the Quran at nighttime, you will be able to connect with the meaning of it, inshallah, bi-idhnillah. And I don't want to confuse everyone, but very quickly, I will mention this note. For anyone who is not able to go to the masjid to pray Taraweeh due to personal circumstances, kids' schedules, or maybe even due to still some of the ongoing concerns in regards to COVID and health and safety, for someone who is not able to go and attend the Taraweeh prayers and listen to the Quran at the masjid, we are going to be having a nightly recitation of one juz every single night, 10 p.m., same place. Right. So if you tune into Qalam, you can go to QalamLive.com. You can go to Qalam's Facebook page. You can go to the Qalam YouTube channel. And over there, you will have one of the reciters from Qalam, inshallah, reciting a whole juz of the Quran with the translation by the side, so that inshallah, no matter where you're at and what your situation is, you can inshallah complete a Quran during the month of Ramadan. And that's something that we look forward to facilitating for you here at Qalam. So that is what this particular program entails. And that is what the objective of this program is. Now, I want to start off by first and foremost mentioning to everyone and sharing something very beautiful and beneficial with everyone. So if you take a look, if you're watching it on screen, then you see in the corner that we have a reference to an organization called Helping Hand for Relief and Development, HHRD. So this series, this program, every single day of Ramadan, 4:30 p.m. Central Time, is brought to you by Helping Hand for Relief and Development. Helping Hand has been a trusted partner of Qalam for many, many years. They serve people in need all around the world, and they've been doing so since 2005, with a focus on international relief and development. MashaAllah, since the inception of the organization, they've assisted millions of people all around the world in need with emergency aid. They have lifted thousands, tens of thousands of people out of poverty with their long-term assistance programs. And so this particular Ramadan, Helping Hand is focusing on continuing its fight to eradicate hunger all around the world and food insecurity around the world. So they have a beautiful campaign called Share Your Plate. Go to hhrd.org/Ramadan to find out more information and to be a part of such a beautiful cause. So please make sure you do visit the website and see and support the amazing work that they do. So with that being said, I'm not going to belabor the objective of today's program any longer. I'm going to go ahead and get right into today's program, inshallah, bidnillah. So today we're going to be talking about the summary of juz number one, as you see in the title. We're going to be talking about the meaning in juz number one, so that we understand the message and the meaning, and we're able to, inshallah, benefit when we read and when we listen to the Quran. So the very first juz of the Quran, of course, has Surah Al-Fatiha. Surah Al-Fatiha, which the Quran refers to as As-Sab'ul Mathani, the seven oft-repeated verses. So Surah Al-Fatiha is in the very first juz. It's the very start of the Quran, and that's why it's called Al-Fatiha, the opening, the beginning, right? And Surah Al-Fatiha has seven verses, as I mentioned, and it is a remarkable, powerful, beautiful surah and chapter of the Quran. Surah Al-Fatiha is what we are obligated to read in every single rak'ah of every single prayer, every single unit of every single prayer that we offer throughout the day. Surah Al-Fatiha has many different beautiful names. It's called Al-Fatiha, the opening. It's called the Sab'ul Mathani, the seven oft-repeated verses. It's referred to as Ash-Shifa. It is a cure. Huda, it is guidance. Ummul Qur'an, and that's the one that I wanted to focus on. It is called the summary and the essence of the Qur'an. For the sake of an example, if you think of the Qur'an as a book, which it is, the Quran itself says that it is Al-Kitab. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment. So if the Quran is the book, right, Surah Al-Fatiha is like the table of contents of that book. It's like the table of contents. It gives us the most important fundamental themes that the rest of the Quran continues to expand, it continues to explain, and it continues to detail to us, and it elaborates on those themes and those fundamental ideas. What are some of the ideas and the themes that are addressed in Surah Al-Fatiha? Number one, الثناء على الله عز وجل, the praise and the glorification of Allah, the praise and the glorification of God, right? That is our belief in the oneness of Allah, our belief in the names and the attributes of Allah, our attachment to the amazing attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very fundamental to our faith and our belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we believe in the power and the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this surah tells us he is Rabbul Alameen, that he is the Lord and the master and the creator, the sustainer, the provider, the protector, the nourisher of all of humanity, all of the creation. Ar-Rahman, he is the most merciful. Ar-Rahim, he is the constantly benevolent and merciful and kind. Maliki Yawmiddin, he is the master of the day of judgment and the day of resurrection. So this surah begins by teaching us about the praise and the glorification of Allah. The next thing in Surah Al-Fatiha that I want to highlight is Ikhlasul Ibadati wal Isti'anatu Billahi Azza wa Jal. And that is to specifically and exclusively worship Allah, to make our worship exclusive to Allah. We worship no one other than Allah. Iyyaka na'budu, only you do we worship Allah. O Allah, wa iyyaka nasta'in, and only you do we seek assistance from. And then it concludes and ends with a very powerful, and one could say the most important dua, the most important supplication, the most important prayer that we will ever make in our entire lives, and that is اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم, that guide us to the straight path, O Allah, the path of those whom you have showered your blessings upon, not the path of those people who have incurred your wrath and anger upon themselves, nor the path of those people who are astray, who are lost. So this surah is a very powerful summary of the Quran, of what we believe, what our faith and our belief and our iman is, and it gives us these very fundamental and important lessons. Now, the next part, the majority of the first juz, is of course the beginning part of Surah Al-Baqarah. Surah Al-Baqarah is the second surah of the Quran. Surah Al-Baqarah in total has 286 ayat. However, in the first juz, we have 141 verses of Surah Al-Baqarah. We have 141 verses of Surah Al-Baqarah plus the 7 verses of Surah Al-Fatiha. So in total, in the first juz, we have 148 verses. Now, going to Surah Al-Baqarah, the first, you know, I want to get into the message of it as well. But the very first thing is, why is it called Surah Al-Baqarah, right? The name of it is Surah Al-Baqarah, Al-Baqarah. Al-Baqarah means cow. Why is the surah named after a cow? And this name, by the way, is the name that the Prophet ﷺ gave to the surah. He referred to it as Surah Al-Baqarah. So why is it called Al-Baqarah? Why is the surah of the Quran? Why is a surah of the Quran called Al-Baqarah, the cow? So there's a story that is mentioned here in the very first juz, and this will be the first, you know, message from the first juz that I will share with you here today. So it's towards the middle of the juz, and there's a very interesting story that is told that occurred in the people that came before us, very particularly and specifically at the time of the Prophet Musa, the Prophet Moses, alayhi salam. The Quran tells us that at the time of the Prophet Musa, alayhi salam, the followers of Musa, alayhi salam, were called Banu Israel, or Bani Israel, which basically means the children of Israel, right? The Israelites. Who were these people? These were the descendants of prophets, right? Their ancestor, their common forefather was the prophet Ya'qub, the prophet Jacob, who was the son of the prophet Ishaq, Isaac, who was the son of the prophet Ibrahim, Abraham, right? So Ya'qub, alayhi salam, the grandson of the prophet Ibrahim, alayhi salam, prophet Ya'qub, one of his names that he was given, one of the titles that was bestowed upon him was Israel. And he had 12 sons. And that basically led to the 12 tribes of Bani Israel. So that's why they're called Bani Israel, Banu Israel, the children of Israel. So these are the followers of the Prophet Musa alayhi salam. What happens at the time of the Prophet Musa alayhi salam is that a man was found murdered. A man was found murdered. They found a person just dead. And they became very, obviously, that's a huge tragedy, but it's also a really big issue. A crime has been committed and we don't know who committed the crime. So they went to the Prophet Musa alayhi salam and they said to Musa alayhi salam that we need you to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to explain to us, to disclose to us, to make a way for us to be able to identify the person who committed this crime, the person who murdered this person. So Musa alayhi salam made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a test for Bani Israel, to test their compliance, to test their obedience, to test their submission to Allah, and also for this to be an example that we, so many thousands of years later, Allah knows how long ago it was, but so many thousands of years later, this would be told to us within the Quran. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would explain the situation to us. And then we would be able to read it. We would be able to understand it and take lessons from it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Musa alayhi salam, revealed to Musa alayhi salam, inspired to him, that go and tell the people that the way that the identity of the murderer will be disclosed is that go and get a cow and then sacrifice that cow, slaughter that cow, right? And after you have sacrificed that cow, then take a bone from the cow and go and touch it, to go and tap the body of the deceased, the murdered individual. Go and tap the body with that bone, and the identity of the murderer will be revealed to you, will be disclosed to you. And that's exactly what the Quran tells us in verse number 67 of this surah, that وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تَذْبَحُوا بَقَرَةً. That when, remember the time when Moses said to his people that God commands y'all to sacrifice a cow. قَالُوا أَتَتَّخِذُنَا هُزُوًا. They responded, even though they are the ones who said, we need a way that we can identify the murderer. But now, what do they say when they're told? أَتَتَّخِذُنَا هُزُوًا. They said, are you making a joke out of us? Are you mocking us? Are you making fun of us? Musa alayhi salam is offended by even the assertion. And so Musa alayhi salam says, قَالَ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ أَنْ أَكُونَ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ. That God forbid, why would I ever do such a thing? That would make me a very ignorant person to make a joke and mock what God has commanded you to do. That is not the kind of thing we joke about. So he said, no, that's totally inappropriate. قَالُ دُعُ لَنَا رَبَّكَ يُبَيِّن لَنَا مَا هِيَ. So they said that go and ask, pray to your Lord. And even the verbiage in their language is very interesting. The scholars of Tafsir point out, they don't say make dua to Allah. They don't say make dua to our Lord. They say go pray to your Lord. That to explain to us what kind of a cow this should be. So Musa alayhi salam made dua and he came back that the instruction from Allah is, إِنَّهُ يَقُولُ. God says, إِنَّهَا بَقَرَةٌ لَا فَارِدٌ وَلَا بِكْرٌ. It should not be old, nor should it be very young. عَوَانٌ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ. It should be in between being an old or a young cow. فَفَعَلُوا مَا تُؤْمَرُونَ. Go and do now what you've been told. Musa alayhi salam is pleading with them. Please, just do what Allah is telling you to do. قال ادع لنا ربك يبين لنا ما لونها. Then they said, well, if you go and pray to your Lord to explain to us what should be the color of the cow, ما لونها. قال انه يقول انها بقرة صفراء. That he came back with the answer that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that it should be a yellow cow. فاقع لونها تسر الناظرين. It should be pure yellow, very like a bright, you know, consistent, solid yellow. تسر الناظرين. That is very striking in its appearance. Now again, Musa alayhi salam is hoping that they will now go. They come back again. They say, قال ادع لنا ربك يبين لنا ما هي إن البقرة تشابه علينا وإن إن شاء الله لمهتدون. So they came back and they said, pray to your Lord, ask your Lord to explain to us again how the cow should exactly be, because we're still confused about it and hopefully we will understand what we need to do. They've been told what they needed to do from the very beginning, from the very get-go. But once again, they say, you know, hopefully, inshallah, we'll know what we have to do. Again, Musa alayhi salam came back to them, verse 71. قال إنه يقول إنها بقرة. He came back and he said, Allah is saying that this cow will be what? لا ذلول تثير الأرض ولا تسقي الحرث. That this cow should be such a cow that it has never worked the fields. It has never been used for irrigation. It has never been used for plowing the fields, for sowing the seeds. It's never been put to any kind of labor. It should not be an animal that has been used for labor. لا شيئة فيها. And there should be no defects in the cow. No scars, no markings, no anything. قالوا الآن جئت بالحق. Then they finally responded. They said, okay, now you have told us what we need to do. Even though he told them from the very beginning. فَذَبَحُوهَا وَمَا كَادُوا يَفْعَلُونَ. And then Allah tells us in summary, they went ahead and found and sacrificed the cow, even though they were very close to not being able to do it. What does that mean? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, explains to us exactly what happened and what transpired here. He tells us that when they started looking for such a cow, they could not find it. They looked and looked and looked far and wide. They couldn't find it. Finally, they found a farmer out somewhere in the middle of nowhere, and he had such a cow. And they went to him and they said, you know, we want to acquire this cow. The farmer, realizing, okay, there's a whole group of people here. They seem pretty desperate. They seem really enamored with the cow that I have. So he ended up naming a very huge price, an exorbitant amount. And he basically, some of the narrations mentioned that he said, I want the cow's weight in gold. I want the cow's weight in gold. And he would not budge. And ultimately, they had no choice, but they ultimately had to comply. And they ended up having to spend all that money in order to be able to purchase the cow, sacrifice the cow then. And then take the bone, and then they went and they touched it, right, on the deceased. And what ended up happening, that basically in the narration, the verses go on with قَتَلْتُمْ نَفْسًا فَدَّارَأْتُمْ فِيهَا وَاللَّهُمْ مُخْرِجُمْ مَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْتُمُونَ فَقُلْنَا اِذْرِبُوهُ بِبَعْضِهَا. Verse 73, go and strike, take a bone of the animal and strike the body of the deceased. كَذَلِكَ يُحِي اللَّهُ الْمَوْتَى وَيُرِيكُمْ آيَاتِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ. God has the ability to revive the dead and show you his signs so that you may ponder and think and reflect. And the dead person spoke and basically said that my murderer is so-and-so. And that murderer was identified and was then, you know, prosecuted accordingly. So now this is a story right here in the heart of the first juz. And this is a story, Baqarah, right? Because of which the surah derives its name. It was given its name because of that story. So this is a very central, powerful story. And many of the scholars have said, when it comes to Surah Al-Baqarah, and particularly the first juz, this is the core, this is the nucleus, this is the heart of it. So what are some of the very important lessons that we can take from this? That the lesson is that we need to learn to submit to Allah. Do not challenge the authority of Allah. Do not be defiant. Do not be insolent. Do not be disrespectful. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created ease, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ, God wants ease and facilitation, practicality for you. He does not want difficulty, obstruction, and hindrances. He does not want to put that upon you. مَا جَعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجٍ, God has not put hardship upon you within this religion. So do not create hardships upon yourself. And those hardships are sometimes created by our own peculiarities, but unfortunately, a lot of times it comes from a place of not wanting to do something. You know, when somebody asks you to do something, and I'm going to give like a very common kind of example so that everyone can understand, right? If you remember that, you know, you if you remember being a teenager, then you remember, you recall, you know, being at that age. And, you know, when your parents ask you to do something, and then when you don't feel like doing it, you don't want to do it, you're trying not to comply, you just keep on asking, why do I have to do it? How do I have to do it? What do you want me to do about it? Well, what about this? And what about that? And what about this? And how about that? Right? And then you just start engaging in this constant back and forth and questioning. And it's actually coming from a place of not wanting to comply, not wanting to be obedient, not wanting to be compliant. And that's a huge problem. That's a huge issue. So that's something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us about here, that don't do that. Don't be that way. Sami'ana wa ata'na. The verse, the first juz talks about this. Sami'ana wa ata'na. Say, we listened and we obeyed. We comply. We follow what we're told to do by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, I jumped ahead a little bit because the name of the surah, I wanted to explain where it derives from. Let me go back to the beginning of the first juz and the beginning of the surah, because it starts off in a very powerful way, something that we need to talk about. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابِ. So first of all, it starts with Alif Lam Mim. This is going to occur many places in the Quran, so I'll take the opportunity here to explain it. Alif Lam Mim, these are disjointed letters. Why? Because normally when words, letters are written together, you read them together like Qaf, Ra, Alif, Noon, Quran. That's how you read it, Quran, you read it together. But Alif, Lam, Mim, we say the three letters separately. That's why they're called Huruf Muqatta'at, the disjointed letters. Okay? What do they mean? Allah knows best. We don't know particularly exactly what their meaning is. But what purpose do they serve? What do we get from them? What benefit can we take from them? The benefit that we can take from them, the reflection that we can take from them, the meaning that we can find within them, not the meaning of them, but the meaning we can find within them, is that number one, it gets the attention of the listener. It is to draw and to pull our attention. And that's why we know every single time we read or we see Alif Lam Mim, it's very captivating. It draws us in, it pulls us in. And number two, it's a very powerful reminder that we don't know exactly what it means, and that it, there's a very beautiful, powerful lesson in that. That we as Muslims, we as believers, when we approach the Quran, we must approach it with humility. That I don't know anything and Allah knows everything. I don't know anything and Allah knows everything. I am here to learn. I am here to understand. I am here to be taught. I am here to receive guidance. So when you come to the Quran, come with that kind of an open mind and an open heart. Open yourself to the guidance of the Quran. And that's exactly what Allah says next. He said, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابِ. This book, the Quran, لَا رَيْبَ فِي. There is no doubt in it. Who then? It is guidance. This book is guidance. But for whom? لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. This book is guidance for those who are conscious of God. Those who think about Allah. Those who are aware of Allah. Those who are cognizant of their Lord. People who have God consciousness. And then Allah tells us what kind of people are conscious of their Lord. الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. They believe in that which they cannot see and confirm. Like they can't confirm with their eyes. It's the unseen. The life of the hereafter. The day of judgment. وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ. They establish the prayer 5 times a day. وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. And they spend from that which we have given them, Allah says. We have provided to them. Charity. Allah gave us everything that we have. Everything that we own is from Allah. And so all we're being asked to do is take a very little bit of what Allah gave us, all of it Allah gave us. We are being asked, we are being told to give a very small part of it in the way of Allah. Fi sabilillah. وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ وَمَا أُنزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ. They believe in that which was revealed to you, O Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Quran, and that which was revealed before you, the prophets and the messengers and the revelations that came before, as the Quran tells us. وَبِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُوقِنُونَ. And they are very firmly convinced that the life of the hereafter is coming. Everything I do in this life echoes in the afterlife. Everything I do in this world will have an impact and effect in the hereafter. أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَىٰ هُدًى مِّن رَبِّهِمْ. Those are the people that are upon guidance from their Lord. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. And those are the people who are rightly guided. So that is how Surah Al-Baqarah begins. And it's very, very powerful. Now, there's two more things that I'd like to highlight about the message from the first juz. The second thing, the next thing I want to talk about in the message of the first juz over here is that the first juz also tells us about that there are three groups of people. When it comes to faith, when it comes to belief, when it comes to iman, there are three groups of people. There are believers, like we just talked about. There are kuffar, disbelievers, those who reject believing in Allah, reject the Quran, don't believe in the Prophet, don't believe in the hereafter. And then there's a third very peculiar and a very complicated and a very problematic group of people. And they are called munafiqun, hypocrites. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us they are people who say the right things but don't do the right thing. They pretend to be Muslim but they actually don't believe. And in fact they harbor evil intent and evil towards Muslims and the community of Muslims and Islam. And one of the biggest things that Allah mentions is that they delude themselves. One of the big qualities of believers is that believers are they hold themselves accountable. They're very self-accounted, right? They hold themselves accountable. They're very honest with themselves. They're very practical and realistic and honest and sincere. But the hypocrites, they delude themselves. They are very delusional. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ لَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ قَالُوا إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُسْلِحُونَ أَلَا إِنَّهُمْ هُمُ الْمُسْلِدُونَ وَلَكِنْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. When they are told, don't make trouble. They say, make trouble. We're the good people. We're the good people. But Allah says, no, actually, they're the ones making trouble. But they don't even realize it. So the one big lesson that we can take from this about hypocrites is never get into the business of making excuses for yourself, justifying your own behavior. Don't ever delude yourself. You know, as they say, don't ever drink your own Kool-Aid. Don't ever buy your own stock. Don't get into the habit and the business of deluding yourself, excusing yourself. But learn to be honest. Learn to be honest before Allah. Hold yourself accountable. Be sincere with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the next thing and the last thing I wanted to talk about in terms of the message of the first juz number one, is at the end of juz number one, we once again have a very beautiful, powerful story. We have the story of the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. The Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wa idibtala Ibrahim rabbuhu bi kalimatin fa atammahunna qala inni ja'iluka lin-nasi imama qala wa min dhurriyyati qala la yanalu 'ahdi adh-dhalimin. Allah says that we tested Abraham in a number of different ways, many, many different ways. And he passed with flying colors. He always came through. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Ibrahim that we are going to make you a leader of the people. He said, what about my children, my offspring? And Allah says, my promise, my reward does not include those who are oppressive, who don't believe. They have to believe in Allah. They have to do the right thing. And yes, then they can benefit from this same blessing and this gift. But the point is, Ibrahim alayhi salam was tested in many ways. I won't get into all of them, but one of them that's mentioned here at the end of the first juz is that he was told to leave his family, as mentioned in Surah Ibrahim, in Surah number 14, in the 13th juz in another place, that he was told to leave his wife and his baby, biwadin ghayri dhi zar'in, in a barren, empty place. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala miraculously provided water, the water of Zamzam there. Eventually, some people came and settled down over there. Ibrahim alayhi salam was told to leave and go somewhere else and continue to preach the message and the word of God. Eventually, he was given the instruction by Allah to come back to his family. When he came back, his son Ismail, his wife Hajar, his son Ismail had grown up. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that time told him, there is a sacred place of the earth here, the Kaaba. And Allah said that we want you to raise up the foundations of the Kaaba. The foundations there, we want you to raise the foundations of the Kaaba. And Allah tells us about this in verse number 127. وَإِذْ يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ وَإِسْمَاعِيلِ. That when... Remember when Abraham raised the foundations of the sacred house of God, the Kaaba in Mecca, wa Ismail, and his son, now who was a young man, was along with him assisting him. So father and son are being granted this blessing, this privilege of raising up the foundations of the most sacred place on earth, the house of Allah, the Kaaba, subhanAllah. And so they're raising this up, engaging in one of the greatest, most noblest deeds of all time. Think about everyone who has prayed there, everyone who has worshipped there, and they raised the foundation of it. It all goes back to them. It all connects to them. And so while they're doing this very noble act, they're making dua. What dua are they making? رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. Our Lord, our Master, please accept this from us. Indeed, you are the one who hears all prayers and everything, hears all and knows all. And then they go on to say, رَبَّنَا وَجَعَلْنَا مُسْلِمَيْنِ لَكَ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِنَا أُمَّةً مُسْلِمَةً لَكَ. That our Allah make us submitted to you. And from our generations, from our progeny, from our offspring, from our generations to come, raise up a nation that will also be submitted and obedient to you. وَأَرِنَا مَنَاسِكَنَا. Teach us how we are supposed to worship you. وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا. And forgive us. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. You are the acceptor of repentance and you are the most merciful. رَبَّنَا وَبَعَثْ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا. And O Allah, in our generations to come, in our progeny, send amongst them a messenger who will be from them. يَتْلُوْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِكَ. He will recite upon them your signs and your verses. وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. And he will teach them the book and wisdom. وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. And he will purify them, rectify them. He will help them better themselves and improve themselves. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Indeed, you and only you, Allah, are almighty and all wise. They make this particular dua. And there's two lessons that I want everyone to take from this particular dua. Number one, they said, oh Allah, accept this from us. And subhanAllah, the Kaaba is there still till today. Maqam Ibrahim is there till today. And people are doing tawaf and worshiping there even till today. In the midst of a global pandemic, there's people praying and worshiping and doing tawaf at the Kaaba. When Allah accepts your deed, no one can take it away. When Allah accepts you, when Allah accepts what you have done, when Allah blesses you with acceptance, no one can take it away. So do good. We are in the month of Ramadan. Do good. Pray, read Quran, give charity, donate. Do whatever good deeds you can. But ask Allah for acceptance. Oh Allah, accept my deeds. And if Allah accepts it, no one can take it away from you. And the second lesson is, Ibrahim alayhi salam made dua, Allah send amongst him a messenger. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam said, Ana da'watu Abi Ibrahim. I am the answer of my dua, of the dua of my forefather Abraham, Ibrahim alayhi salam. that the Prophet ﷺ is the answer to the dua of Ibrahim ﷺ. Subhanallah. Right? And so make dua to Allah. Open your heart to Allah. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, for whatever it is that you need. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer your prayers as He answered the prayer of Ibrahim alayhi salam by sending the greatest blessing in our lives, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So with that, inshallah, I will conclude today's session of the meaning of the Quran, the message of the Quran. We covered the lessons and the message and the summary of Juz number 1. Now, what I'd like to do here is very quickly remind you of what other programs we're going to have going on so that you can, you know, take full advantage and benefit from them in the month of Ramadan. Every day at 4:30 p.m. Central Time, so you can adjust according to your time zone, 4:30 p.m. Central Time, 5:30 Eastern Time, we're going to have this message of the Quran every day doing one juz of the Quran. At 7 p.m. Central Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, we're going to have a short session, 10-minute session, on a dua from the Quran, where our scholars, our teachers, our instructors will explain the meaning of a dua from the Quran and give you pointers on how you can incorporate that into your own dua. So it's a perfect time, right around iftar time. We're going to have that session. And that's going to start today, so stay tuned for that. Number 3, we're going to, at 10 p.m. tonight, starting tonight, one of our qurra, one of our reciters of the Quran, mashallah, qualified reciters of the Quran, will be reciting a whole juz from the Quran. They'll be today they'll be reciting the first juz. So inshallah, make sure you set an alarm for that. And by the way, if you go to our website, qalam.institute, over there, you can even put these into your calendar. You can set notifications, etc. So you'll be notified whenever we're going live. And then starting from tomorrow morning at 10 a.m., we will have morning, we will have prophetic supplications, where Sheikh Mikail will take you through the beautiful du'as the Prophet, peace be upon him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, used to make every day, so that you can incorporate that into your daily routine and your daily lives, inshallah. In closing, I want to ask everyone to, if you benefited from Qalam in the past, if you are benefiting from these programs, support Qalam. Be our partner in doing this good. Go to supportqalam.com and support the work that we do, so that we can continue to bring these programs to you, continue to educate you, continue to enrich the lives of people all around the world. Jazakumullahu khairan, barakallahu feekum. I thank you very much for tuning in. Early Ramadan Mubarak and Ramadan Kareem to everyone. Wa jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.